There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek, the 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast, where we do 50 podcasts, well, less than 50 podcasts, about, oh, somewhere around 30. Probably 35. I don't know, a lot of podcasts. And of course, joining me for those podcasts is Lee. Lee, how are you doing?
I'm good. You can tell that the podcasts are coming to an end because early on we talk about how wonderful we each are, and you say all these lovely adjectives before my name.
Oh, I've run
and
out
now
of
it's
them.
Just like it's Lee.
Oh yeah,
because
I've run
we all
out
know
of them.
Who she is. It's okay. No, it's good because you can tell. And we're taping this 10 days from Con.
As we record this, it is 10 days from Dragon Con. As you hear this, probably somewhere around 6 or so.
Yeah, and that's just kind of hard to believe. I mean, it really doesn't seem like it's been a year.
Yeah, it's kind of nutty. You had your director meeting yesterday.
We had our final director's meeting. There were no surprises. Everybody is go for flight. Always there are some questions that come up, some things we're all talking about and things like that, but we are all go for flight and we can't wait. And we're getting I think a lot of people are excited. I mean, this year is a really good year for guests. It's a really good year for other things that are going on at the convention. And I think people are really excited about it, but it is kind of amazing to think that we are at another year. And it just doesn't seem like a year has passed. I don't know.
Right. So
it kind of gets me prepared for it though, because then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah, but then we're good. I've started putting out my Dragon Con stuff on my small couch for the packing up of stuff. And I'm waiting on a box. I think I get a 67-pound box very soon. I don't know how hell I'm going to lift that into my house. But
good luck with that.
Thanks. Butthead. Everyone's sending it to me. Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting. And I think what's really interesting is we all have such different things that we do, not just the tracks, but everything else that goes on at Con. And you kind of start hearing about that and hearing about those excitement, that excitement too. And like, ooh. And so one of the things that some people may know and some people may not is that we actually have a pretty darn big art show.
What?
At Dragon Con. We do. And
what?
It's not all fairies. It's not all little dragons, although my son did buy a little picture. He started his own art collection and bought a very cute picture of a little dragon. It's not all that. It's not all, you know, it's not all what you might think of. It's some very, very interesting and some very, very good art. And we actually get to talk to the directors of that today. We are talking to John and Anne, a husband and wife team who are not only married, but also, oh my God, work together at Con. You two must really like each other.
We've only been married for 24 years now, so.
Oh, so there you go.
So there's still plenty of time to.
Dragon Con for 12 years, married for 24, so kind of works out.
Oh,
my God.
It all works out. Yeah,
So, all right. So, tell us about the art show. What is the art show? How many artists? What kind of art? In a nutshell.
The art show is a themed show with science fiction, fantasy, horror, surrealism, and space art in general. It's the general themes that we ask for the show. It is a juried show, and we have roughly each year about between 130 and 150 artists who actually attend the show, whether in person or as a mail-in artist. And we have arts, not just fairies, as you say, but everything in those categories, from little figurines to little sculptures to 2D to 3D to floor models. This year we've got some really interesting stuff coming in for display purposes, where we're doing a little cross-pollination between other groups. So it's really exciting. It's a really huge, huge show. We've got in a room, which is in the Hyatt Regency Hotel on the exhibition level in Grand Hall East, next door to Grand Hall West, which is where Comics and Pop Artist Alley is located. So we kind of have one giant room of art and artists. It's very, very huge and very noisy and lots of art.
And lots of art. And that's what's very interesting, too, is because you run the gamut from there's art, there's the art of painting, there are there's photography, but then there's also, you know, sculpture and jewelry and other things like that, too.
Right. Well, let me tell you a little bit how we got started in it. Maybe that would help.
That would help. Yes. Come on.
So about we've been this is our 12th year, and God help us, 12 years ago, we were bored. And Annie saw something online that said, hey, why don't you come volunteer at this cool, convention in the art show? And I am a degree artist, so she thought that would be kind of cool for me, and we weren't doing a lot at that time. So I said, sure, we'll go down and check it out. And I had actually grown up in fandom and fantasy and knew the kind of people that would be there, but Annie has never been with this group before. So when we got to the first volunteer meeting, of course, we had 60-year-olds in blue and pink hair, and she looked at me and went, oh, my God. And I said, it'll be okay. Just calm down. They're good people. So we sat there, went to the meeting. And
we sat in the very back.
In the very back.
Oh, right. Did we scare you?
Kind of hung, right. Kind of hung and let her get, you know, acclimated to the group. So once we got into it and everything seemed pretty cool and she said she'd like to try it, we started volunteering for the then director, which was Patrick Roberts, and he brought us on and we started working and he said, what do you think we can do to improve the show? And we started talking and said, well, one of the first things you probably should consider is during the show. And he thought that was wonderful. He thought that was the greatest idea ever. And of course, he started that next year to apply that. And you could hear the screams from East Coast to West Coast. Nobody in fandom had ever juried the show before.
Well, and explain what jurying a show is, because I don't know if everybody understands what that means.
Okay, and I come from two backgrounds. I come from an academic and a technical background. So in academia, when you're doing galleries and artwork and whatnot, you have these different shows where people apply, and the shows are juried by someone in the same sort of genre who's well-known or established in the field. And they would become the judges of that particular event. So I wanted to apply that same sort of principle to this show. And Patrick was cool with that, and we started trying to set up. And our first jurors were Don Meats and Janie Wirtz. And we set it up with them to be our first jury, as it were. And people would submit their entries, and then the jury or the judges would look through the entries, and we would decide which ones were a little, you know, more correctly technical, the way they presented their work, you know, the professionalism, all those type aspects that you would look for in a show. And we really were trying to work toward creating, you know, everyone wants to have the best show that they are currently working with, so we were trying to make the best show we could. And we wanted the quality to go up and get a lot, you know, very wide variety of type of art and just really make it exciting for fans and for Dragon Con overall. So when we did this, we had a lot of people who were very anti-jury, who didn't agree, and those folks kind of fell off to the side. However, the interesting thing that happened was we had a lot of bigger names who never applied to the Dragon Con Art Show before who told us flat out they would only apply to the show because we were juried, which was really interesting.
Okay.
So a lot of bigger names decided to try our show, and it's just slowly evolved into a bigger and bigger thing. And on average, we always have three jurors or three guest judges, and that way if there's a tie, we can bust that up. And we started out with, what, about 65 or so artists. And now I had last year, for this year, we probably had somewhere around 260, I guess, apply, out of which 122 have got in, and then an X number that's on a waiting list in case space became available. So we've come a long way from the first couple years that we started it.
Okay, so now let me ask you, the folks that said that they would only, they only wanted to come because of jury, is that mostly because they wanted a prestige thing, or is it because they didn't want to be kind of, because art is art, but
Before we had the jury process, people said that the art show was like a big flea market.
And that was in creative loafing, no less.
We were a little disappointed with
that kind of description.
So we wanted the quality to go up.
The best way
to do that was to preview the stuff through a jury before we opened it.
Right, and some folks, you know, and it's always a valid opinion. Some folks felt like, you know, whatever sells, and it's great, and just let anybody come who wants to. Well, we didn't really want that. We wanted people to be excited about coming to the show and have a better choice instead of, you know, X number of different, you know, levels of quality. And now part of our mandate with the show, we have a sort of a mission statement sort of thing, is we don't just talk about selling artwork, but we also talk about art education to the public and to other artists, mm-hmm. which brings us to our art show programming part, which means we don't just have the art show going on, we also have the artist bazaar. So there's like X number of artists sitting at their tables selling their work and, you know, talking with the fans and selling their work to the fans. We have the gallery, which is where a lot of the work will hang or be sitting on 3D tables, because we also have 2D, 3D sculpture, because there's a lot of great fantasy art in the round. So we have that section. And then we have our art show print shop, which is a smaller section off to the side that's self-contained, which allows artists to put prints into the print shop. So that's kind of a lower priced item for some of the, you know, let's face it, a lot of our attendees are, you know, younger folks who have only so much money and they can afford to get those kind of prints. And then we have more original artwork in the gallery aspect, which is a little more expensive, so we have more collectors come through for that. And then naturally the bazaar table allows them to meet the artists or their favorite whoever and go from there. So for that aspect, that worked great. But we wanted another element with the programming, which allows us to teach people about art. How do I make money doing this for the upcoming artist? How do I do my taxes on this? How do you do this certain technique? So we have, you know, the likes of Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell doing a special program to talk about how they created something, and that was like standing room only, for goodness sake. Michael Whalen was with us, and so he did a program item, and of course another standing room only, and at a show he showed some techniques and some stuff and a little history about his work. So this is a great opportunity for people to not just come and buy art and come and see art, it's also a chance to meet an artist and learn something from one of the people who are well established, well known in their field, who are just wonderful, wonderful artists in some fashion. So it's one of the things that we wanted to make the show is not just a selling point, but an educational aspect as well. And that was really important to me. So it's turned out pretty good. We're pretty happy with it, right?
No, it's great for an art show. And I, as you were talking about the place where you can go and buy the smaller art and things of that nature, like I said, my son has now kind of started buying some. He bought, you know, he's still into Phantom a little bit, but you know, he's 13, so that makes a lot of sense. So he bought some of the Doctor Who. I think there was a Dalek and some other things he bought, and then he bought a couple of pictures a year or two ago of some dragons that he liked and things like that. So that's it gets him started, and I think that as a parent, I was really excited to see that that's what he was spending his own money on, was art instead of, you know, another air pistol like he also has, or a new lightsaber. So I was very happy that he was spending money on art as well, and going through the art show and seeing stuff.
Yeah, and we love collectors. You know, we want people to come through and find something. We have one artist, and I don't know, I'm not trying to single any particular artist out, but this one in particular is very well known and has a great following. Her name is Jasmine Beckett Griffith, and she makes these really unique little pieces of work with a female character, usually with very large eyes, and if you saw it, you would know it, but she's so diversified. Our show's not just her only spot for DragonCon, but she does other shows. She has things in Target and Walmart and online and with Disney and all these places, because she's, you know, very, very good businesswoman. And I can't tell you how many times people come in to just want to collect her part. On Friday when I open to the public at 1, there's a small group who will like make a beeline straight for her because they want to get the best stuff in the very beginning of the show, and they're willing to pay for it, which is great for her. And, you know, it brings people into the show, and they're big collectors, and it's good. So collecting is great, and this is a great opportunity for people to collect and, like I said before, actually meet those artists. So, yeah, I understand, and I'm glad he's a budding collector, future collector. Awesome.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, it's just fun. You know, this is always good, and there are people that you're going to want to see. I think my husband has bought me some jewelry from the art show as well. So, yay, which I like. Yeah, so that's always fun, too. Cool. Yeah, hey, I love jewelry. And then there's some really expensive jewelry that I look at and covet and say, oh, when I win the lottery, that would be nice. But, we're there.
But the price points are all across.
They're very much. As I said, he has bought me some, and some of it we've looked at and gone, oh, that would be really nice. But you know, we also like a mortgage. So, you know.
Or I'd like to buy a car. Right.
Yeah, I'd like to buy it. Some of it is I like to buy a car. Well, now, the other thing is, for the art show, in the gallery, you actually, some of them are not for sale. That means NFS, if you see it saying on there, not for sale, right. NFS. But some of them are for sale. And how does that work?
All right, so we have various items in the show. Each artist is permitted, based upon their space, X amount of items they can put in the show and X amount that they can put NFS, which is usually 25% of their total amount they're checking in. So mm-hmm. once you get to the show, each piece of artwork has what we call a bid sheet on it. And the bid sheet is attached to that specific piece, and on that tells you the title, possibly the medium if the person included it, other things about the artwork, a piece ID number, and three little columns that say quick sale price, minimum bid, and after auction. So quick sale price is just like Walmart. You're like, oh my God, I've got to have this. And they pick it up. They can walk to one of the inside their cashiers. They pay for it. They walk out the door. We're done.
As long as there's not already a bid on it.
Right. So if the second item is if the minimum bid. Minimum bid is the minimum amount of money that the artist will accept as a bid for that item. So Friday at 1 o'clock, when we open to the public, we begin what's called the silent auction, which means everything in the room, in the gallery, or on the 3D tables, not the print shop, but the other two, are up for sale through auctioning, which means there's a minimum bid, say, $20. And so the person's allowed to put $20 down. Now, there's two ways they can do this. A, they must have a bidder number. And the bidder numbers are free, and you can get it from any location, from bidder registration.
Inside the art show.
Inside the art show, or the cashiers at Inside the Art Show. And you just go and you sign up, and you get the number. So you go back to your piece of artwork, and you put a bid. Now, the bids are incremented in $1 values, so you go up from there, and people behind you will want to bid too. So there's five lines for that. So once they hit the fifth line, if, let's say, one item's really popular and there's a fifth bid, that one automatically goes to what we call voice auction on Monday, where we have an auctioneer, and the piece will be in there, and the person whose last bid is the beginning bid for that piece, and it's for sale through auction at that point. But by Monday, if nobody has made a bid on it, and there's like three bids left, let's say the third bid, and as far as it's got, that third bid person is the winning bid. So come Sunday night at 6 p.m. is when silent auction closes. That person has won the piece, and hopefully they're there to pick it up and, you know, purchase the item. If not, then it stays there until Monday, and then we considered that person, you know, either had won too many or was still in their, you know, room or forgot about it or whatever, but the artist will just get it back and they go on. So that's all we can really do with that.
But if there are no bids on the piece, then it's available for the after auction price after 6 o'clock on Sunday night.
And that's the last price on the list. So you have a quick sale, a minimum bid, and an after auction. And that's pretty much how those work. And they work mm-hmm. well that way. Yeah.
And I will tell you, this art auction, I've gone to two of them, and that was like some of it, people really wanted that piece, and it was shark circling. They could not wait. It was like shark circling the water. So
now, was this the voice auction or the end of the silent auction?
This was voice auction.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Lee, one of our representatives at the show. He's one of the guests, and he's a wonderful auctioneer. He's ridiculously funny. And he does several things for our show, which is really great. And he always manages to get people very excited about the pieces. We actually saw one time where the theme for the piece was people used, you know, we said use the audience, something from the audience, and some fella used his own shoe as part of the artwork. And he wanted his shoe back. He didn't realize it was going to become part of the artwork. So he's like, I need my shoe back. And it's like, dude, it's part of the artwork. So he had to go to the auction to try and buy it so he can get a shoe back. So once he was in there, there's two ladies who apparently are retired or live on some sort of...
And they come to the auction.
They come to the auctions all the time and have a lot of money. And so they were helping the poor boy
buy his
shoe back.
They were giving him money.
So they were giving him money so he could win his shoe back.
Oh.
So he just wanted to get the art piece back. I was like, I need my shoe.
I just really want my shoe. Can I please have my shoe? Yeah. Okay.
So it's really funny what happens to shows sometimes. It just is. So... but yeah, that's how that works, and the auction is very fun, and you know, it just depends on the year as to how much we have in there for auction and how much we don't. So that's just what it is. You have to excuse our little dog; he doesn't like to be separated from us.
We're used to it with Lee.
I have a dog too. I'm very surprised she hasn't barked yet. So, but it's okay. Literally, even if you don't want to bid and you're just trying to find something to do on Sunday and you're just like, I don't really want to go see a panel right now, go and watch this. Seriously, Chum is in the water and the sharks are circling, and because if there gets a piece that somebody really, really, that two or three people really, really want, it gets huge. It gets huge, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, we have a great story about the auction for one kid. we have a student section, and let me explain a little bit about that. At one time, we had categories for professional, and then we had one for amateur, and then we had one for students. But a lot of people felt like they were being pigeonholed if they were, you know, being classified as professional or amateur. So we completely changed our formatting to just say, okay, the jury will be based strictly upon your work, the quality of the work. That's all it's going to be. And everyone seemed cool with that, and it turned out fine. But we still have a student category where the students are allowed to put one piece into the show for free, just to get their feet wet, to kind of learn from the experience, to come experience the show, and just to get started. Well, this one young fella showed up from one of the colleges with his one piece, and oh my God, it was a full-size replica of an alien from the movie's Alien. And he made it out of PVC and electrical tape, and it was dead on perfect. I mean, the thing looked real as real could be. And we had the darndest time keeping people from getting pictures with the thing because they kept stopping and making this huge crowd.
And we're like, no, photography.
And we'll tell you about that in a minute. But the whole point was is he won first place, of course, for student category. He also won in the show for Best 3D. And then on top of that, it was for sale at that time, and he went ahead and it went to voice auction. And we had these two couples. One have a sci-fi, Star Wars sort of themed bar in the bottom of their house, and they wanted it for their bar. Oh. And we had someone else who just collects overall, and they wanted it. And they got into this huge bidding war over this thing. And the kid ended up getting like
$600.
$600 was the final bid on that for the purchase price.
And somebody, but you should have seen his face when he came to pick it up on Monday.
Right.
He's like, well, where's the alien?
Where's my piece?
Like, you sold it, dude. You sold it for $600.
So it was like, it was PVC, what? No.
Yeah, he said, good for him. So, you know, it's always fun. Yeah, it's always fun when someone first starts out that they have a really good, strong first experience. So, cool. But now, that's what was happening with him.
As you alluded to, there are actually special rules associated with the art show. Some of the same rules that apply even in the Walk of Fame, but more importantly, at the art show. Can you explain some of what those rules are?
Sure. Let me give some basic ones. When you come to the art show, a couple things you need to know is, first of all, there's, of course, naturally, no food or no open container drinks, because we've had people actually leaning over, talking to an artist, and pour their drink onto the artist's work and everything at the table. So guess what? We don't really want that. So that's one of the rules. The other rule that's really important to us is there's no photography or video in the art show. Now, people say, but it's Dragon Con. I want to take pictures. Well, I'll give you a little background. One year, we had someone take some pictures, unbeknownst to us, and they took really high-res digital pictures of a piece of artwork that later on they decided that they were going to present as an agent of that artist, and they started selling it on a special website online. So essentially, they were stealing the work from our show. And that was really not cool. So we got that taken care of, but from that point forward, we decided, you know what, we just have to control the pictures, and the artists really understand that, and they appreciate us trying to protect their work. So we have to be really careful when people take pictures and we stand there with them and make sure they're not getting a lot of, you know, someone's work in there, or if it's at an angle so you can't really have it straight on, face on, and be able to take that and take it, you know, later on for any sort of monetary gain. So that was one of the big rules, and our volunteers have been trained to pretty much jump on anyone who's got a camera. So please don't take that, you know, offense with that. That's just doing their job. So that's the main ones that we always want to enforce. Most of the other ones are really rules that are related to the artists and, you know, their application and coming to the show and security procedures and things of that nature that we have in place.
Don't you close up bags, zip tie bags?
Yes, it's called bagging, and essentially what it is they have, if you come into the show and you've got a large sort of bag from another part of the convention.
Like from the dealer's hall.
Or something like that. Just a security position, they'll take it and they'll just zip tie it shut. They don't zip tie people's purses, you know, shut. They don't zip tie really big things. If it's a camera, they ask you to just keep it in its
case. Just put the lens cap on, turn it off.
You know, nothing really offensive or hard. Now, do some people take it bad? Sure, because they're completely like, don't talk to me, don't touch any of my stuff. And it happens, and we talk to them, and we fix it on a case-by-case basis.
And we do check receipts as they go out the door.
Yes.
Just as
so if you're buying something, make sure you get a receipt, whether from someone from a bazaar table or from the cashiers, which they will always give you a receipt. But those will be checked in a very Walmart sort of fashion. And once again, that's us making sure we can cut down as much as possible on any sort of, you know, five-finger discounting that may occur.
Okay.
So that's I think that's pretty much straight. But the other ones for the rules for the artists and all, they will get those just before they come to show. And the rules are on our website naturally for them to look at. And many a person has said, my God, look at all the rules for art show. But we always laugh about that because somebody always does something every year that we have to write a new rule.
A new rule.
Which is like, you know, goodness, we never thought somebody would do that. So let's make this new rule. And it's so sad that we have to, but you have to. So you go on.
Cool.
So that should give you a basic idea.
Cool. So I don't think that we've mentioned yet, and maybe we did, and I missed it, and I'm slow that way. But where is you said that the art show is near the comic area, but where's the comic artist area? But where exactly is that for those folks that don't know?
All right, it's a Hyatt Regency Hotel, so we're in the Hyatt. If you come in on the lobby, we're two floors down. So you take, you know, the escalator down, and you take the escalator down again. I mean, you come down again, it'll be to the left. And on for this year, the lobby for the exhibition hall, or the exhibition level, as they call it at the Hyatt, where they're also going to move the
bands,
the concourse stage will be right there outside of Art Show, as well as the comics. So you're looking at the wall where the two grand halls are, which is Grand Hall East and West. Comics will be on the right, Art Show will be on the left. And the whole room is open, so when you go into the room, you can get to either side through a little entrance exit inside of as well. But, you know, depending upon where you want to go, and that's cross-traffic worked really well, and the cross-pollination, which I've spoken of earlier, works really well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do some programming items with the puppetry track this year, because we have a lot of big guests for the puppet groups coming through, and I don't know if it's been announced yet, but Heather Henson will be coming, which is the daughter of Jim Henson.
I think that did get announced, but I can't remember.
Yeah, so I believe she will be there. And so they have a puppet display that they're going to put in the art show, which is a big, giant display of a bunch of the puppets from her company. So we'll have that at our show, and naturally that'll be stanchioned off for people to look at. And between the bands and the fan tables that are outside there in the lobby, there's a lot of things for people to look at, naturally, at convention, but particularly our floor. We have a lot of the art in the convention at one location, which is very convenient for art lovers. So it's just really worked out well these last few years with us combining all of the groups.
Cool. So and what about the where's the programming at? Do you?
Programming is in Hanover G.
Either F or G.
I believe it's G, and it's in Hanover Hall, which is on the same floor. So if you come up the escalators,
it's still on the exhibition level of the Hyatt, the lowest level of the Hyatt in Hanover Hall.
So Hanover Hall is on the exhibition level, and it'll be right off the escalators, and you'll see the four doors, and it'll say Hanover above it, and it's down there, and comics is down there as well, and I believe the writers' track has a group that's going to be in the Hanover.
The workshop,
as well.
The writers' workshop, is in Hanover AB, I think.
Yeah, so that's about where that'll be. But there's stuff going on all the time in the programming. I'm not sure when the programming becomes available for people to look at, but I've been told we will be on the app with everybody else. So if someone wants to see what programming is available for our show, that'll be listed there.
Awesome.
As well as the pocket program. Yeah.
Well, now, okay. So like all directors, you spend a lot of time doing your art show and now also the programming stuff, but is there anything you two are hoping separately or together to get out and actually see at Con?
Oh, goodness, honey. We don't leave the room. Come on.
Oh.
This is the one thing that'll happen. On Sunday afternoon, I leave the room for 2 hours. It's kind of my tradition. So at a certain point in the afternoon on Sunday, I'll tell all my directors and my wife, I'll say, I'll be back in a couple hours and we'll take a break. Because I don't know if you guys are aware of it, our show, We have various crews that do different things for the show. I have approximately 90 volunteers that it takes for me to run my part. So I'm one of the bigger venues that occur. And so part of our group is the setup breakdown crew. And we build the show. That group builds our show for the art show on site. But we also help move the entire show from the office in the warehouse to the various hotels. So we combine with the offices group, and there's about usually 30 of us, and we get these big trucks, and we go and we lift everything because there's a lot of equipment. So once we get to show and we unload everything and everything's good to go, so we have all that set up, and once we finish all that, we have the group, and because of the large groups, and I've lost my train of thought, I'm so sorry.
Where are you going? I don't know where you're going.
What was the original question?
What do you do on Sunday afternoon?
On Sunday afternoon, takes a break and goes to the dealer hall for 2 hours.
Right. And the reason I was bringing up the volunteers, I apologize, because we have such a large crew and there's so many of us, that I have the directors and they can cover a couple things and I go. Well, what's really funny is I turn off my radio hoping nothing will happen, but I always leave my phone on just in case. And, of course, you're getting called all the way down through there. So the only thing I ever like to go see is just go hit the dealer's hall and the exhibitor's hall and just kind of check around real quick and I come back and, you know. But, no, essentially we don't really leave the room. There's just too much that has to happen and too much you have to keep an eye on for stuff. And our directors are wonderful, but it's just because of being the main directors, I guess, you know about certain things that nobody else knows about, and you kind of have to be available to take care of stuff. So it is what it is, and we knew it when we went into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
we go on.
Yeah, I try to go on Thursday and give blood.
That's true.
And then that's about it. Yeah, that's the highlight of my con.
And you guys start loading in pretty darn early, so you guys are already busy.
Yeah, we start this year. We actually had to push it up a day. So actually, we'll probably start on Tuesday to load the trucks to have time to get all the rest of the loading done Wednesday, because we've increased in size for the show, as you know. And we've increased in so much equipment and extra merchandise for the DragonCon store.
Yeah, the DragonCon store has really increased.
Yeah, they've really
increased. That's a lot more stuff.
There's a lot more things we have to pack and move to the show. So that takes a little more work. But, yeah, it is what it is, and you get done, and we plan it out, and we go on.
What are the hours of the art show?
Art show hours begin on Friday from 1 to 8, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 8, and Monday from 10 to 4.
Cool. All right.
So those are our hours in Grand Hall East.
Nice. So let me ask you the traditional final question that we ask all of our guests, which is, if you had three guests, any three guests, living or dead, but not
zombies, because zombies eat art and people and everything else.
Exactly. I don't mind the zombies. I'll just go over to the armory and track and hang out over there.
I feel better that the armory is there.
But they're not. They don't have any real ammunition, Lee.
But they have swords.
They do. They have swords. But those are peace bonded, so.
Well, yeah, okay. But it doesn't matter. They can still bludgeon.
It's true.
Bludgeon.
It's true.
We've got bludgeoning objects. It's okay.
Anyway, if you could have any three guests, who would they be for DragonCon? Whether they be for your track or just for DragonCon in general.
Well, for our track, I mean, I've had one. I grew up in college watching, you know, reading the various Edgar Rice Burroughs and the John Carter, you know, of Mars books, and seeing the work of Boris Vallejo on everything. And so we've actually had Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell at the show here last year. Wasn't it last year, love? 25th anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with
Michael Whalen.
Yeah, with them, and they brought their whole clan, so that was a lot of fun. So we had one of them, which was great. And Michael Whalen was another one we wanted, but we had no chance really with that, we thought. But apparently he decided he wanted to come, and we got word last year, and he came. So it was like, okay, two of the three are great. So for a third one, I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, up in the air about that. We've had a lot of the ones in general in the U.S. The bigger names have come to Dragon, have either been part of our guest's crew or part of our judges or something along those lines. So I've been talking with Pat Henry that possibly in the future we will try and get more outside of the U.S. I'm going to start looking abroad for bringing people in. And I forget the young woman's name that we brought from England. What was her name?
Anne Sudworth.
Anne Sudworth. So we brought Anne Sudworth, who was kind of the queen of goth, and she was just something. She was a riot to talk with and whatnot from England. And that's been our only really abroad person that we've brought from, you know, outside of the U.S. So I plan to try and bring some more fantasy-type artists from that region or around the world that we can to the show and try and attract somebody. I think we'll be able to do it because we've gotten pretty big and we're getting a pretty decent reputation based on what we're hearing from folks. So hopefully that'll work.
Cool.
Yay.
That's what we'll do.
Woohoo.
All right. Well, again, tell folks where you're at. Where can they find out more information about the art show?
Well, they can go to the main website at www.dragoncon.org, and there's a link on that main site for art show that you can just follow through and you know, get the information to the main thing about us. But you can also go to the art show website, because we currently have our own site that we maintain, which is, how do you say it? HTTP, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Artshow.dragoncon.org/index.html. So that's the actual art show website. And
you can get that through the main DragonCon website.
I believe it will take you to our main site, yes. But if you can't find it, you can just type that in and find it just fine. But try and find it because it'll say, I believe, art show website on there.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to go right to it. And it has a list of who we have as guests and various other information and rules and procedures for when they apply. And applying to the art show is always important. Everyone doesn't understand. It takes us about a year to plan all this. We open up the submission process for jury every year about the end of February, the beginning of March. So they just need to watch the website as to when we say, we're open, come on down. And they submit, and then we start the process of jurying. So always important if you're planning ahead for next year.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, because obviously it's too late to get in now, but
we were sold out. Yeah, we were sold out in May.
Yeah, they should start to plan for next year right this moment and start to get all this stuff in order.
Exactly right.
Right. Cool. So. And so they can go say hi to you guys. And if they have any questions, I suppose, while they're there, well, folks who are at DragonCon, they can come by and ask you or your volunteers questions as well.
Sure. They just need to go to the information desk and they can talk to my lovely wife or one of our other directors that is sitting there.
Cool.
And then if they want to talk to me, they'll tell them to look for the blur, and that would be me.
Cool.
Because I'm running around putting fires out. That's my job.
Nice.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Putting out the fires.
Yeah, well, baby.
Well, thank you, John and Ann, and thank you for putting on such a wonderful art show. I do try to make sure I get down there at least once. Sometimes I wind up going there twice during the con. I know our good friend Rox loves... talks about how not enough people go to the art show, so we do need to get more folks out there. And I know that you already see thousands of people to begin with. So,
could I mention one other thing?
Sure.
We have a part of our thing because you know Pat and Sherry Henry are so much about the charity aspect of the show.
Right.
Our show has a lot of charity items that we put together strictly art related.
Oh,
just
awesome.
For that year's auction. Every year we have what we call the contribution canvas, which means all the artists that are attending who are physically there will do a little 6-inch square and do something of their specialty on the canvas. So it'll say Dragon Con, whatever year it is, usually by the artist guest of honor, which this year is Dan Dos Santos. And he'll probably, you know, do the title and get something on there he wants to put on. And then all the other artists put something on, and that'll be for sale at the voice auction. So it's a really unique piece that kind of brings together all the artists that were attending that year on one giant 3-foot by 4-foot canvas. Then the other item is we always have a theme-based charity item based on whatever the charity for that year is. Like one year we had the Heart Association, so we did these little heart-shaped wooden boxes. And then another year we did something else, and it's based on what they say. For this year, it being, is it ALS? Is that correct?
Yeah, the Georgia chapter of ALS.
Or Lou Gehrig's disease. We are doing the theme for this year is fantasy baseball. And what we're doing is we're giving the artists who want to participate a softball, because the baseball was so small, we didn't think it was enough room for them to work. So we gave them a softball to work, and they're going to create something that those will be for sale, and all the proceeds will go to the charity at the voice auction as well. But we had one artist who's attending this year. His name's Don Mates. And Don Mates is a well-known fantasy artist. Some people know him as the Captain Morgan artist because he created the original Captain Morgan label. So he's known as the pirate artist, and Don created this year's artwork for the T-shirt, when you see that. So
the volunteer T-shirt.
The volunteer T-shirt. So when you see a volunteer run around, he created the artwork for that this year. And in addition to that, he also, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with these, the Hard Rock Cafe pins. Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
They're very collectible, I understand. I had no idea how rabid the collectors are. Once I talked to the Hard Rock and some of the people, they're really, really, you know, serious collectors of these things. So we had the idea through Don that what he decided to do was he sent me the design artwork for the pins that he created for this year. And I have all the design artwork, and one of our sponsors is Michael's this year, the craft and art store. And they have agreed to donate a shadow box that we're going to put the artwork in, and then Hard Rock has agreed to donate one set of the pins that we're going to put with the artwork that matches each pin into this shadow box. And this item is going to be a one-of-a-kind, one-of-one collection of the pins with the design artwork in this beautiful shadow box with the matting and all this that will be available not at the art show auction, but at the Dragon Con auction.
The charity auction.
The charity auction. Because we feel it would get more attention there. So we just want to let people know that that's going to be available, and details will be forthcoming.
And it'll be on display in the art show.
Yes.
So, throughout the convention up until the actual charity auction, and then Everett Beach from the charity auction is going to come and get it. And he said they're going to auction it probably between 2 o'clock and 2:15 during the auction.
Okay.
I think that's on Sunday.
Yes.
So this is supposed to be a real serious collector's item for the 10 people. We hope it goes over well. But it's all, once again, the proceeds will go to the charity, so that'll be great. So just wanted to mention that because we're trying to get some of the word out on that.
There you go.
That's fantastic. Thanks for not letting me sign off before sharing that with us. Really do appreciate
cool.
that. Again, everyone go out, check out the art show. It's really cool. It's, again, like I said, I try to catch it at least once, sometimes twice while I'm at con. And John, Nan, thank you so much for the time you put in for this, and basically sacrificing your entire con to bring some great artwork and to bring some even to help out the like we mentioned earlier, the student artists. That's a great thing, and the charities, of course. Thank you for your time and all your staff's time. We really do appreciate that.
You're welcome. No problem. We'll see you guys at the show.
All right. Cool.
Ooh, not long. Yay!
And for John and Ann and Lee, this is John saying until next time. Peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.